Right. I'm going to read you something from John chapter 4. And it starts around verse 42, I think. Pete is off at a couple of conferences this week, and I think he went yesterday. He was at a conference today, and yesterday and the day before, sorry, and then another conference Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. The first one, get this, was for young ministers, and the second one was for old ministers. No, I've no idea. It was a Heber type thing for anybody, but he has managed to get into the young ministers bracket by quite a number of years, I guess. So we must remember, as we talk together and listen together and think and pray together, to pray for him and whatever he's doing at this moment. But this is going to be the second story of this particular set of topics that he's going to talk about over the next few weeks. And there we go, John 4. I'm going to start a few verses earlier than that, and this is from the NIV. It's called Jesus Heals an Official's Son. So after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my son dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Right. In my mind, this talk that I'm going to do just now hasn't really got glued together properly. So I'm going to pray now that the glue happens, and maybe some of the bits and pieces, which may well not be particularly linked together in your minds. So let's pray for that now. Dear Lord, all these bits and pieces that I have to say or want to say here, thank you for reminding me of some of these stories. Thank you for reminding me of some of these things. But I pray that you will provide the glue for each of us that link these little bits and pieces together in some way. Amen. Okay. We were at the Olympics a couple of times in the summer. We went for a week, 3 days for the regular Olympics, and for 1 day and one night to the Paralympics. And I mustn't ever forget the fantasticness that it actually was. I felt that there were several occasions where my head was going to explode with joy as to how brilliant the Olympics and the Paralympics were when we were there. Interestingly, my memory of it is that the Paralympics were better, but I couldn't understand how joyful I was just being there. Now, there was one particular moment which I'll tell you this story, and it was a story to do with Florence having just been to Reading Music Festival. And she'd been to Reading Music Festival, and one of her friends had missed a fantastic band that was on because they were queuing to get an autograph with somebody. That might not be quite the right story. She missed the whole day, even better. So she missed the whole day because she was queuing to get an autograph off somebody. And we had this little chat. I can't remember quite where we were going, but I remember we were walking along a massively wide bridge to get from one venue in the Olympic Village to another. And we just started chatting to each other about who we would queue to meet. So there you go. 30 seconds. think, who would you queue to meet? Any answers? Who would queue to meet somebody? I think the Bonds have queued to meet somebody. Miranda, okay. Miranda is a female comedian who's supremely funny, who's been on the telly quite a lot at the moment, but a number of the Bonds queued for Miranda's autograph. Is there anybody else that you would queue to meet? Darren Clark. The golfer Darren Clark. He was had a late surge of brilliance, and his wife died early. Yeah, okay, brilliant. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay. How long did you queue for? Do you remember? Only half an hour, not a whole day. Not a whole day. Okay. Minnie Mouse. Yeah, I was thinking I've never queued for anybody, but I have. I've queued for Minnie Mouse. How pathetic is that? I don't remember whether it was we. I think it was certainly I, but I think it was we decided that we wouldn't really go for that. Because the idea of queuing for a whole day for somebody almost puts them on a bit of a pedestal. And, you know, you are worth my entire day. And then we got onto the idea of, well, how long would you queue to actually physically meet Jesus? Quite a long time. So here we go. You know, you'd have that 5 minutes for an autograph and a little 5 minutes. It would be a tiny amount of time. Autograph. How brilliant would it get to be Jesus' autograph? That'd be cool. But what would you say? What would you ask? Have a chat with each other. Just what would you ask? What would you say? Okay, anyone? Anyone shout something out? Yeah, that's exactly my question. That was exactly what I thought. I don't know whether it would be exactly the same words, but it would be like, am I doing all right? And just that, yeah, you're fine. Oh. Just that whole idea of, is this okay? Am I barking up the wrong tree? Is it okay? I don't need to know if it's all right. Okay. Okay is fine. Just imagine that whole... I'm getting it now. Look, arms on the hairs on the back of my arms. The idea of God saying, Jesus saying to me, yeah, you're doing fine. Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
What are you going to do?
I hadn't crossed that. Yeah, that would be a... That would be a tricky conversation, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you're taking quite a risk asking that question in the first place. Now, let's just go back to this guy here, this guy in this story. Because if you just read in between the lines a little bit as to what this guy has actually done, he has gone to Cana to queue to meet Jesus. Now, he has come from Capernaum, which is 20 miles away. Now, 20 miles to us in a car is no worries, but 20 miles is a long way walking or even going on a horse. It's a fair whack. And it says at the end of the story that he got there, got back home the day after. Now, this guy has queued to meet Jesus. And he's queued to meet Jesus, and he's left his dying son at home. Now, for most of us, I would imagine, leaving your dying son is a pretty big ask. Leaving your dying son to go and meet Jesus with only an idea of you might not actually get to the front of the queue. You might not actually know what it is you're going to say when you get there. And then when he gets there, the most important thing that he has ever said comes out of his mouth. He went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. Sir, come before my child dies. Now you can imagine, he's walking his 20 miles. I don't know whether he was thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Or whether he was just trusting that the words would come out. But he has left his dying child in order to queue and meet Jesus. Now, as it works out, what a fantastic thing that was. He didn't waste a day by doing that. And the words that came out of his mouth became the most important words that he had said, presumably, in his life. And Jesus just says, this is brilliant, there's no mucking around, your son will live. And the guy didn't go, right, hold on, I'll go, whoa. You're not doing anything special here. You're not going to come with me, everything. Jesus says, your son will live. And I can imagine him then turning to the next person in the queue. Your son will live. And the guy says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Now, that's pretty amazing. Now, sometimes, if you're in a massively important situation and you know you've got one prayer on your mind and you know the thing that you want, maybe that's the prayer that you pray. But there are other times where the prayer that you pray is just a mess in your head. You don't know the words that you are supposed to be praying. So can I show the picture, please, Lynn? I want to take you back to when your kids were little or when you were a kid. And I want to take you back to the most impossible thing that you will ever face as a six-year-old, which is getting two flat pieces of Lego that have stuck together apart. Now, you don't know really what to ask your mum or dad. You don't. As a six-year-old, you don't know. You don't know whether it's, this is broken, can I get a new one? You don't know, can you prise it apart? Because you can't work out how it can possibly be done. You have a feeling it's something to do with fingernails, but it might be as well be magic for all you're concerned. Because what parents seem to do is this. You don't know what they're doing. So what you actually do as a six-year-old is this. No words, nothing. And pretty much what you're saying is, Lego! That's it. But somehow through the magic of parenthood and all that sort of stuff, these clever, fantastic beings called parents, they know exactly what you want and they sort it out for you. Now, this bloke who did his 20-mile journey from Capernaum to Cana, he knew what it was that he was going to pray for. Now, in so many difficult situations that we face, we don't know the words that we are supposed to pray for. So, somebody made allowance for that. And, he said, trying to find the thing he's looking for, they wrote it down. So this is in Romans. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So this idea of us groaning about things, us not necessarily having the words to say the things that we are supposed to say to God. Bloke from Capernaum, my son's dying, I need to see Jesus. Us in our lives, most of the time, we're faced with things that we don't actually know how to pray for them. So in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. If we don't know what we are praying for, we can still pray. Now, I've thought about this a little bit. I'm doing a little groupy thing with Alison, I, and Steve, and Joe. And we've been talking about prayer a little bit over the last few, I say weeks, but we had quite a big gap in between the last two. So let's say months. And one of the things that has come to mind is that maybe the way around this idea of not knowing how to pray for things is something that I'd like us to try. And it is this. two-word prayers. Two-word prayers. These prayers don't tell God what to do. It's just as if we are going to God. This is a stretch. Lego. Two words. I could do Lego bricks, but it didn't sound as good. Lego. And we're offering God up the problem. We're giving the problem over to Him. Because sometimes in our lives, our situations that we find ourselves in are so complicated, we don't even know what the right prayer is. Here are some examples. Oh, sorry. Get there in a second. Sometimes the idea of praying for that is so complicated. Maybe the best we can do is Lego. And ask God to do His stuff that we don't understand. I don't think any of us know the right thing to pray. And I think in a bunch of Christians like ours, if we were to line people up in a line and ask people what people's opinion was about this, we would have absolutely all of the opinions there are. So the idea of a church having one opinion about this subject, I don't think will happen. So maybe our prayers about this should be Lego. Now, the serious point about that is, I didn't watch very much of the American Super Bowl, but loads and loads of people at the Super Bowl were praying that their team would win. Well, how does that work? So the idea of just friendly, silly competitions and sporting things taking over our thoughts and our lives, I think the idea of praying for a football team or anything like that is a bit mad. So the idea of, I don't know, Aston Villa, I want to pray, keep them up, but I don't know that that's appropriate because there are people in this congregation who are thinking exactly the opposite. And then here we go. And this could be replaced with a bunch of people. I know the prayer I want to pray, but I don't know if it's the right prayer. I just don't know. Lego. And the idea of two-word prayers is the idea that we're offering the problem to God. We're acknowledging that I don't know what I'm doing. And my second thought about this is that if we pray these two-word prayers often enough, that maybe in the quiet times, there will be an indication from God as to which way you should be praying. Because at some point, with Lego bricks, I am going to work out how to prise them apart. I am going to understand what my parent is doing to make this happen. I am going to understand how to do it myself and what the right thing is to do. But the guy from Capernaum left his dying son to queue to meet Jesus. He knew the prayer he wanted to pray, and he prayed it, and God answered it straight away. I cannot begin to imagine what the journey home would have been like. I imagine it would have been a roller coaster. Of my word, I've met Jesus, my son's going to be fine. How can it be? No, it will be. How can it be? Oh, it'll be fine. And when they met him on the way, when he realized that he had got better, exactly at the same time that Jesus has said, your son will not die. That must have been an outstanding moment in that guy's life. Now, ordinarily, we don't know the prayers that we want to pray when we meet Jesus. So let's offer him up these things that we know it is right to pray about. But let's actually leave it up to him to intercede on our behalf and listen to our groans and our words and let him do what he is best at doing, which is all this stuff. The things that we don't understand. Now, let's give this a go. If your prayer turns into something else, that is absolutely fine. There's not a rule about two words. It can only be two. I started with Lego. That was one. But I'm just wondering if we could just spend a bit of time with some two-word prayers. If someone says something, just in your head for a few seconds, you say the same prayer. If you want to pray something else as well, of course, that is absolutely brilliant. But let's go round the world. Let's think about the people that we know. Let's think about the people that we don't know. Let's think about the situations that we vaguely understand. Let's think about situations that are massively complicated. Let's just pray some prayers that allow God to fill in the gaps, that allow God to prise the Lego pieces apart in a way that only he understands how to do. Right, let's pray. Lord, our prayers. Amen. I'll say us, because loads of you are loads better than praying than I am. So I'll rephrase it. Being unsure of what to pray shouldn't stop me. And sometimes not being sure what to pray about something can just put a bit of a block on getting that prayer started before you've even begun. Whereas holding up that subject to our Father, our dear Father, who can see the bigger picture, who can see the past, who can see the true story, who can see into the future. And just giving him our, permission is a funny word, giving him our desire that something is done about that issue or support is given to that person. So two more two-word prayers and then we'll sing a couple of songs to finish. Peter Everett. Lord, thank you that you listen to our prayers. Thank you that you are right there for us. And thank you that even when we don't know what to pray, you still love to hear our prayers. Amen.